It's Mother's Day. We're kind of going to talk about mothers a little bit, but not a great deal. But we'll see how it goes. It's a real pressure when he has to speak on Mother's Day, because it's like, what? It's like Father's Day. It's like Christmas, you know. So I'm going off-piste a little bit, so we'll see how we get on. Anyway, I don't know if you believe in coincidences. Some coincidences happen in our lives, like this morning, both Steve and I are wearing the same shirt. We're rocking the floral, and we got the memo. Gilla didn't. What's going on? Andrew, you need to get in one for Christmas, okay? Where are you? Okay. Coincidences happen in our lives, don't they? So I'll put a slide up there of Woodrush High School and Vietnam. Okay. What is a coincidence there? Well, I've got an older lad. Dan's the drummer. My older lad is James, and he was on his travels going to Australia, and as he went to various countries, India, Nepal, Thailand, and Vietnam. He was strolling down a town in the road, as you do, one evening, and coming towards him was a group of lads from Woodrush, okay, one of whom is called Ollie Lamben, who is the grandson of Dave and Pat Lamben. That's a coincidence. He had another experience, but I think, Dan, you were there. Where are you, Dan? In New Zealand, they were up this mountain on a trek, saw some guy with a blues hat on. Good lad. We get everywhere. And it turns out that he was from Woodrush as well, and his granddad was the headmaster there. Then Julia and I, a few years ago now, we took the kids to Florida for a holiday, and we were queuing up to see Winnie the Pooh, as you do. Okay? And on that day, in the same queue, were some people we knew from Southcrest Chapel at Redditch, in the queue with us. We travelled 3,000 miles, and they followed us. Okay? Coincidences happen. Okay? So this morning, we're going to look at a coincidence that takes place between two people, and they met Jesus. Okay? Well done. God, Josh is on it tonight, today, this morning, even. Feels like night. Lost an hour. Now, you know, the thing on dramas nowadays, they show you a bit of a clip, don't they? And then they go, 3 months ago. And then you get the backstory of where they are. Well, it's a bit like that this morning. We go 12 years ago. 12 years ago, there was some good news and there was some bad news. The good news was a baby girl had been born. Okay. We love babies, don't we? They bring a sense of joy and hope and everything is all right in the world type feeling. The future is full of optimism. The future looks bright. Okay. Here's a little one. Children who go to bed early get up early. Children who go to bed late, get up early. That is just the law of life. Okay. Here we are, there's another one. Ever noticed your parents spend the first 18 months trying to make you stand and talk, and the next 18 years trying to make you sit down and listen? Okay. You've all been there, I know. Bad news. At a similar time, a doctor was delivering earth-shattering news. Your illness is incurable. Instead of joy, fear takes grip. Instead of hope, there is despair. Instead of everything is all right in my world, everything in my world is falling apart. The future looked bleak. Okay. Now we move on. 12 years on. Fast forward. And the situation has changed a little bit. The good news has turned into bad news. The baby girl is now 12 years old, and she's seriously ill. She is dying. Where there was joy, fear has now taken grip. Where there was hope, that's turned to desperation. Worlds are now starting to fall apart, and the future looks very bleak. Not only that, but the previous bad news for the sick woman has now got worse. The incurable disease she has brought shame, it's brought poverty, it's brought isolation. And fear continues to have a hold on her life, and despair has turned into desperation. Worlds have fallen apart, and there is a sense of impending doom. There is no future. So, let's read the details of where this takes place in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Now, you're going to struggle on the back row for that. So I'll read it. Okay, it will be the same as it's on the wall. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 55. We're going to read. And it's Jesus heals in response to faith. Okay? On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. And then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, having spent everything she had on doctors, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing. But he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. And then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted they not tell anyone what had happened. Some context about this. This chapter in Luke's gospel highlights many different things. It highlights the role of women, actually. At the beginning of the chapter, three little verses, and he talks about the women who followed after Jesus. And Luke, of all the gospels, highlights the role of women in the ministry of Jesus. You know, who was at first at the tomb, all that sort of stuff. And these women weren't just sort of tagging along. They were supporting the ministry of Jesus through their finance and wealth that they had. That's what it says. Okay, so they were independent women who followed Jesus. And in this passage we have just read, we see the care and the concern and the love that Jesus has for two women. One a 12-year-old girl and one a very ill and sick and lonely woman. This is a busy chapter. Jesus has already calmed a storm, okay? He's already challenged his disciples about where's your faith. He's cast out demons out of a man who was living outside the town and was cutting himself and in a bad way. And Jesus cast the demons out into the load of pigs and they ran into the sea. And this man sat at Jesus' feet, clothed in his right mind. And Jesus says to him, "Go back to your family and tell them what God has done for you." Perhaps that's the challenge for us this morning. What has God done for you? Have you told your family? Because the change in this man was just amazing. But Jesus met him and dealt with the demons in his life. And then Jesus crosses the lake and he has this encounter we've just read where he meets a sick woman and a desperate father. Two worlds collide. Okay, this is the coincidence or the God incidence in Jairus' world and this sick woman's world both come together. The story started 12 years ago, and they come together at this point, this pivot point, and Jesus is at the centre of that pivot, at the centre of this relationship. So let's just compare the two people and the situations a little bit. And there are stark differences, but there are also some big similarities for us to think about this morning. Okay. So first of all, Jairus was a respected leader of the synagogue. He had wealth and position. The woman was a rejected woman. She was penniless and disgraced. Because of her illness, the loss of blood and hemorrhaging continually, she was deemed unclean by the Jewish community and would have been isolated and shunned by them. So she'd got money. She was in a desperate situation, and she spent that money trying to get cured of this terrible disease that inflicted her. And she'd run out of money. There was no NHS. There was no welfare system. She was on her own, desperate. Jairus is desperate. His daughter is dying. He is fearful. She is fearful. What does the future hold? This situation is beyond his control, and it's beyond her control. And so they both went and humbled themselves before Jesus. Jairus had faith in Jesus and went to him. The woman had faith in Jesus and went to find him out, to seek him, to search for him, because she'd heard about him. Now, in this situation, you need to understand that Jesus is really pushing the boundaries here, because the woman touching him makes him unclean, okay? Because that was the law in the Jewish community. So he's getting polluted, if you like, by her touching him. He then goes to Jairus' house and he touches a corpse that is equally bad in terms of his standing in the Jewish community. But don't you think it's great that Jesus gets his hands dirty in this world and comes down to us and deals with the issue? And that's what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to get amongst the dirt of our life and clean us up, to make us whole, to show his love to us. And that's what he did with Jairus' little girl and this woman. Okay. So Jairus comes and he falls at Jesus. This was a man of big stature in the community. And he is throwing himself prostrate on the floor in the dirt, begging for Jesus to come to his home and heal his daughter. The woman, she'd heard about Jesus and she's in the crowd. And you can imagine she's lost in the crowd. If you've ever been to a football crowd or a big crowd, you know you get buffeted around. You can't get through. But she somehow gets her hand through and she just touches the tassel of his hem of his garment, and she's healed. Incredible. All the shame goes in that moment as Jesus meets her. Tassels on a rabbi's shawl represented the law and authority of promises of God. So she's almost like she's reaching out, touching the promises of God. She carries deep shame in her life, but she reaches out. So the crises in each of their lives drove them to seek Jesus. Perhaps that's just you this morning. I don't know what you're going on in your life, but perhaps you're feeling pressure. Perhaps you're feeling crisis. Perhaps you're feeling shame. Perhaps you're feeling lost and lonely. Okay, reach out and touch Jesus. Ask him to help you in that pressure. But we have to come in humility and dependency. We can't be strident about this. We have to set aside our pride and come before him. And it's interesting that Jesus said, Jairus hears that his daughter has died because he's been delayed by this woman. You can imagine the panic in Jairus' eyes when Jesus is like, just leave the woman alone. She's an outcast. Come to my house. And then two servants come from his house and say, your daughter is dead. And Jesus turns round to him and he goes, do not be afraid, just have faith. Do not be afraid, just have faith. Jairus had just seen this woman healed. That should have encouraged him. Jesus, she just touched his hem of his garment. and she was healed. So what can Jesus do when he comes purposefully and heals? So Jesus goes, do not be afraid. Just have faith. Okay, we're going to try a little, hopefully the tech will work. Just got a little clip from the Miracle Maker, which shows this incident. Okay, can somebody just click the lights out?
She's dying. Please, you come down to my house and lay your hands on her. She will be here.
Yes. I will. I will come.
Oh, thank you. This way, my father.
Just now.
Look, everyone's touching me. Look at the crowds.
I know. Someone touched me. I felt the power go out of me.
It was me, Lord. I was bleeding inside me. So many fears. The doctors did nothing. I was afraid to come to you before all the people. So I just wanted to touch you.
My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.
Master, please. Please help me. No!
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, it's like coming out of the cinema. Okay. It just helps us understand a bit better, doesn't it? Just to put it into a visual way, in that way. Jesus responds to their faith. And we've throughout this chapter in Luke's gospel, we see the different elements of faith. The beginning of the gospel, Jesus talks about the parable of the sower and casting out seeds and the different degrees of faith that that brings about. Jesus calms the storm. And he goes to the disciples, where's your faith? Didn't you believe that I could help you? And then we see a different kind of belief from the demons had in Jesus. They knew he was the Son of God. So they believed him, but it was a different kind of faith altogether, a different kind of belief. So this God incident between Jairus and the woman and Jesus unfolds. We see Jesus responding to their faith, little as though it was. And the important thing here is that they did something. Faith requires action. The book of James tells us, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? What kind of faith, can that kind of faith save anyone? They both went and found Jesus. They both approached him, and Jairus fell at his feet and pleaded in faith that Jesus could save his daughter. The woman reached out in her weakness and touched his garment in faith. And then we see the outcome of that. We see resurrection. We see a young girl restored to her family. We see joy and future, a future of hope. And then you see this woman healed and restored to her community. Jesus calls her daughter, daughter of Israel. She'd been shunned. She'd been cast out by her community because of her illness. And here Jesus recognizes her. And just as Kath said, how Jesus sees you is how you are. And he sees her as a daughter of Israel, restored to that community. And she knew joy, and she had a future and a hope. Faith in God changes everything. Okay. So, how is your faith this morning? Are you desperate? Are you fearful and anxious? Does your life feel like it's out of control? Are you feeling isolated or rejected, in need of healing, without hope? The question is, are you willing to come to Jesus with your little faith and trust and believe in him? Then come, okay? That's our prayer this morning as we look at this incident of this young girl and this woman who had an encounter with Jesus. One was resurrected and the other one was healed into wholeness and restored to her community. God has a perfect plan for us. He never does it all at once. It's just step by step because he wants to teach us to walk by faith, not by sight. So how's your faith this morning? We're going to sing a song now, okay? And it's called, what's it called? Lay It All Down at the Feet of Jesus. So as we sing that this morning, perhaps that's an opportunity. If you have stuff going in your life and you need to pray about it, then come to Jesus just as Jairus and the woman did and be encouraged to be prayed with and for, okay? Steve and I are down the front. If you want to come and pray with us, turn to the person next to you and just say, will you just pray about this situation in my life at the moment? I'm desperate. I need Jesus' touch in my life. And this song talks about that. Okay, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. Thank you.